championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Baser, and I'm joined alongside by Darius Terrell. You guys are listening to the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel you can find on any podcasting platform out there. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about Utah, give you guys a preliminary look at the Utes, talk about the Texas High School Football Playoffs and the quarterbacks that Texas is going after, then touch on the coaching hiring as Texas right now is in a holding pattern. What's going on there, and what are the next moves? Darius, you got to get going. We'll make this a short one because you got the high school football playoffs going on right now. But what's going on in your world?
Hey, what's going on, man? I got a lot going on. I mean, like I said, got the playoffs going on. It's coming down to an end with the final 2 weeks of the Texas State playoffs in football. And I'm currently in basketball season, got that going on. So I'm a busy man right now. But, hey, we got some stuff to bring to y'all. We're good.
That's true. I mean, news is a little slow right now. You got recruiting kind of building up, but we're kind of in the middle, a little bit of a news dead period while you're in between bowl season, National Signing Day, and the end of regular season. But the big news for the Longhorns came down this week as they were announced that they're going to the Alamo Bowl to face the number 11 Utah Utes, who were really kind of hoping to go to the college football playoffs, but fumbled it against Oregon.
Yeah, Utah, you know, it's kind of similar situation. Well, it's similar, but not really. Utah obviously had their sights set on being a part of the college football playoff.
So did Georgia last year.
Yeah, but I mean, just like Georgia last year, Utah doesn't really have anybody to blame but themselves. I think they'll handle it better than Georgia did. I think, you know, they don't think that they are entitled to be in there just because of what conference they're in and things like that. So I don't think we'll be saying that excuse about folks not being ready to play and things like that. Utah's going to be ready to play. They'll be excited to play Texas and potentially beat Texas if Texas doesn't show up ready to go.
Right. That was going to be one of the things we talked about was, Utah playing a game that's really kind of disappointing for them. They, you know, if you're Texas and you're 11-2, no matter who you beat, do you really look forward to playing a team that's 7-5 in your bowl game?
Well,
no, Texas fans would be having a fit.
Right. I guess as a player, I'm trying to imagine living in, as a player, obviously you're excited to go to any bowl game, in Utah's instance. I don't know if folks know, but, depending on where your state is, your school is located, the further away from home you go, that's the more cash, more money in your pocket per diem. And about this game, Utah, coming down to Texas. Well, recently, in the last few years, Utah's been hitting the state of Texas pretty hard. They've been getting some guys. Now they haven't gotten any, you know, really big name guys, but they've gotten some 3-star guys that have flown under the radar, and they've got them up there and done some good things with them. Texas is one of their recruiting grounds now, and while the players may not be, you know, for the players, they're more excited about getting to get away from home, get some cash in their pocket, get to play against a big-time opponent, I promise you that coaching staff is going to put everything they got into this because this is their chance to showcase Utah football and the way they play and their brand of football in Texas's backyard. So that coaching staff, I'm telling you, those guys are going to be fired up to be here. They've got a lot to gain from winning this game. Possibly, well, just as much as Texas does. So I think you're going to see a fired up game from both sides. I think it's going to be a good football game. I really do.
It's interesting because there's a lot of storylines coming in here, like Utah coming off of a great season. Texas fans would love to have the season Utah had, but them kind of taking a step down in their bowl game. And then the Longhorns, who have had probably the most underwhelming season of any team in the nation, given their expectations coming into the year. The Longhorns coming in here 7-5 without a true offensive coordinator, with a backup defensive coordinator. How are the Longhorns going to look in this game? It's going to be an interesting storyline in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, if we go look at the schedule, I mean, Texas was in every game that they played this past season, right? Every loss was by one score, essentially. If you go back to last year, it was the same kind of deal. They were winning one score games. But last year, just off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure they were 5-1 in those games. I think this year it was flipped. They were something like 3-3 or 2-4 or something like that. And I got caught up in it along with everybody else. You know, You expect them to do great. You expect to win. You expect to beat teams like Iowa State, things like that. We saw this Texas team improve defensively. We saw this Texas team look better later in the season once they got some guys back. So I'm excited to see Texas in about a little bit under 3 weeks, just seeing a healthy team out there going against Utah. Again, both teams have a lot to play for, not necessarily as things pertain to this season, you know, trophy or accolades, but going into next year. And I'm sure we're going to get into it in a minute, but they've got some recruits that we're going head to head, for right now. So this game means a lot.
Right. And that's what really bowl games are. They're perception games, especially going into next season. Yep. They mean a lot for the coaches and the fans. The players, I don't know, unless it's a really big game, Darius, I don't know how much it really means to a player besides, hey, you know, you want to win the game, you want to win a trophy, you want to be have a ring. But beyond that, I can't think there's any more emotional meaning to this game like there would be for, you know, playing for possibly a Sugar Bowl or a college football playoff or a conference championship of that magnitude.
Well, here's where I'll disagree with you a little bit. With the NCAA's new redshirt rule now, you can play up to 4 games. There are some guys that are going to get to play in this bowl game, potentially, if they earn it in practice these next few weeks, that haven't played in, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks as they've been redshirting. It's an audition for next season, especially on special teams, things like that. There are little games within these bowl games that are going to mean a lot for guys heading into spring ball, like you mentioned. I'm really intrigued by the matchup, and I really think you're going to see two teams that are excited to be there come December 28th. You know, it's an interesting matchup, and you don't see Texas and Utah match up with each other very often.
No, I think they've only played once or twice in their entire history.
I didn't think they played at all. Wow, okay.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and take a look at Utah right now and what the Longhorns are facing and kind of give a quick descriptor. We'll get into Utah a lot more in depth come a week or two before the game. But we're going to take a look here at Utah. And for me, what jumps off the paper is that Utah is explosive but undisciplined. And that has been the real key to their falling apart. One of the big stats that's been kind of thrown out there about Utah is they can't beat a team who has more than 7 wins. Their combined record of the 11 teams they beat is 60-72. And the only teams they've lost to are USC and Oregon. And they didn't just lose to them, they got beat pretty badly. And the reason behind that, and when you watch these tapes, is there's a lot of breakdowns in coverage, there's a lot of penalties, and a lot of breakdowns in blocking, or breakdown in play. The offense is very explosive, and it's led by two guys, Zach Moss and Tyler Huntley. Zach Moss, the Offensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12, averaging 113 yards per game, which is 6.2 per carry, and has 100 yards in 8 of the 12 games. Darius, when you watch Zach Moss, what are you seeing?
Man, Zach Moss is a guy. I mean, I feel like I've been hearing that name for years now. I feel like he's been in college 4 or 5 years, but then I look him up, he's only a junior or something like that, man. But, you know, right. Moss is definitely a big-time player. That backfield, like you just mentioned, Huntley, he and Moss can cause some problems for a Texas team that sometimes, you know, doesn't do the best job of wrapping up. Yeah, if Texas messes around on that front, we're gonna be in a shootout. We're gonna catch ourselves in a shootout. What we did see from Utah last week against Oregon, we saw some chinks in the armor. We saw some weaknesses get exposed that you mentioned most of the teams they played this year could not expose. We know that Texas can score points when they're clicking offensively. We know that Texas can be explosive. They can run block when things are clicking. They can protect. Okay. Sam Ehlinger can make some tough throws. They've got receivers that can make great plays, make some big time catches. I think we have the makings of a potential shootout here. But I can also see it going. I can see it going both ways. I can see it being a shootout. I can see it being a defensive struggle. But
Tyler Huntley is a guy who's going to really test the discipline of Texas's defensive backs and their linebackers, which I'm not going to say I trust.
Right.
given a year of watching it, but the thing about Utah is it's also hard to trust them.
Yeah. Hey, fun fact real quick about that quarterback and running back. They both happen to be from the state of Florida too. So, you know, they can run a little bit, but I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No worries. while the defense right now is number one in the nation when it comes to stopping the run, they only allow 70 yards of rushing per game, number 12 in the nation in passing, allowing 186 yards per game, I believe. On the opposite end, they're 104th in the nation when it comes to penalty yards per game, averaging 62.2 yards a game. Now, Texas is 122nd, allowing 71.1 yards per game. But that's been Utah's problem, has been allowing explosive plays to good teams and then being undisciplined when it comes to penalties, just like Texas. Now, they don't allow a whole lot of explosive plays, but they do allow them when they matter, as was shown against Oregon, as was shown against USC.
Yeah, you're just saying there are yards to be had, but you have to have players capable of exposing that. And again, Texas has those guys. We've seen signs, we've seen flashes this season. I think with Coach Herman getting, a full month or so to get his game plan together, to check in. I don't know. Just check Texas. Check Tom Herman's record in bowl games over his career. I mean, when he's got time to prepare, his teams usually show up and perform really well. But just doing a quick scan of Utah's roster, Will, something I noticed, we're talking about it being a big, big deal for them for the recruitment. Utah has 12 guys on their roster from the state of Texas. And we mentioned on Ty Jordan taking a visit up to Utah, sneaky visit up to Utah last week. Well, come to find out, he's got a teammate, a former high school teammate on that roster. That's a true freshman from West Mesquite. So there's a connection right there with Cameron Rising and these guys. This is a roster heavy in Texas prospects and
upperclassmen as well.
Yeah, this is important. This is a big game for Utah. And I don't mean
it'll be interesting to see if, I mean, that defense is full of upperclassmen, but there's one guy on that defense that is huge. He is he's the first team All Pac-12, Julian Blackman, who suffered a non-contact injury against Oregon. Mm-hmm. And he's really the quarterback of that backfield. He's the guy who was getting everybody set up. Now they have three other guys who are all Pac-12, Bradley Anai, Lakeith Futu, and Jalen Johnson. But Julian Blackman is a huge hit to that team if they do lose him. But you're right. The team is stacked with Texas guys and Cameron Rising on top of that.
Yeah. So, no, this is a big deal. Right now, so we know Texas, and switching gears a little bit, focusing on the recruiting implications this game could possibly have. We know Texas held a commitment from Van Fillinger, who's from Utah, since this summer.
Now looking to
play there. More than likely going to go to Utah. And Texas probably, that's his home state. We're probably not going to get back in on that one, regardless of what happens. He seemed like he would, the way he decommitted, as quickly as it did, it seemed like he was really just looking for a reason to finally be able to get out of it and stay home. But Ty Jordan, come to find out, he's got a teammate, a true freshman on this Utah roster named Aaron Lowe, who's from Mesquite, Texas, and West Mesquite High School. I was told that Jordan was hosted on his visit by Cameron Rising, and I would have to assume Mr. Lowe has something to do with this too, and has been telling them about it, been hyping it up to him. But also on this roster, they've got, Utah's got two guys from Frisco, Texas, who happen to be from Lone Star High School, and they currently hold a commitment from a kid at Lone Star High School, a linebacker that Texas is kicking the tires on, named Jalen Ford. Texas is trying to talk to him behind the scenes, try to get him in for a visit, try to push back his signing date to February, maybe get in on that one. And then another linebacker that recently decommitted from Oklahoma, named Edgerrin Cooper, who's from Louisiana. OU was concerned that they were going to lose Cooper at the last minute to LSU, so they decided to cut bait with him, cut ties. To this day, to this point, LSU still has not offered that young man, and the two schools that he mentioned first out of his mouth were Utah and Texas A&M, and Texas is trying to get in on that one too. So, no, that's four guys right there, really three if you don't count Fillinger, that could swing one way or the other just off the result of this game. So this is big.
Right, and especially with Ty Jordan just decommitting yesterday, this game takes on an entirely new meaning. He's a guy who is so explosive, and he's a guy you don't really want to see leave the state, but it seems like that's what's going to be the case. So you want to make a statement in this game if you're Texas.
Yeah, Texas has lost too many guys. We see too many guys when I turn on the TV on Saturdays making big plays for other schools, Ohio State, you know, Auburn, Michigan, guys that are from the state of Texas and would have been playing with Texas, had Texas perform like we know
they
can. Given
them the time of day.
Right, or performed, giving them a reason to want to come, you know.
Right.
What is this? This is 2019, about to be 2020. These kids now that are 16, 17 years old, all they've known since they were old enough to pay attention is Texas being a mediocre program. And we've been seeing the results of that with guys shining, showing out on other teams, hailing from the state of Texas. So this is part of defending the home turf here. This is Utah coming into Texas's backyard and territory, trying to plant their flag and, you know, show that they're here to stay.
It's another point where Texas can kick another team out of their state.
Got to put the fences back up somehow. Somehow.
Got to start somewhere.
Not a wall, but fence. Fences. Got to start defending that turf. Got to. But you wanted to get into the kids we talked about this past weekend. We saw this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about some Texas high school football playoffs going on right now. It's about that time of year. And a few of Texas's quarterbacks really went off in this past weekend. Especially two going off against each other, with South Lake Carroll going up against Duncanville.
Yeah.
You got Ewers versus Jaquindon Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Jaquindon Jackson is sticking in the fold for Texas. There was a point where he was wavering, especially given all of the concerns around the coaching staff at Texas. But it seems like that stuff is cooled down at the moment.
Well, yeah.
And it looks like it's going to stick that way through National Signing Day.
Yeah, Tom Herman was present at the game in McKinney this past weekend, South Lake Carroll versus Duncanville. He was started off on the sideline, then he made his way to the stands. He's high-fiving Duncanville fans all the way, you know, looking like a rock star, until he finds his way sitting next to Jaquindon Jackson's mom, who, you know, looks as proud as a peacock there. She couldn't be happier. Jaquindon also held up his end with his coach in attendance. He was 100% throwing the ball against South Lake. You know, South Lake was undefeated this year. They're ranked number 13 in the nation. Duncanville is rated as a top five team in the nation. Jaquindon was 8 of 8 for 183 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. And then on the ground, you know, he did what we always known, what his calling card has been as far as being a prospect. He ran for 174 yards and 3 touchdowns as well. Ewers is a kid that's a 2022 kid. He's just a sophomore. I got to see him in person 2 weeks ago when my team faced South Lake. I got to see him and Carriage. Ewers, you know, he's going to get bigger. He's got enough height. He's 6'2", 6'3".
He's got an interesting haircut.
He's got, all those blonde South Lake guys, you know, they're doing their thing right now, being a little bit creepy. But Ewers,
God, weird.
Ewers was 32 of 52 against Duncanville for 3 touchdowns. And I will say this, I haven't seen all the other sophomore quarterbacks, and I'm sure, you know, I'll dive into that within the next few months. But as of right now, he's the clear-cut top guy in 2022. And from things I hear from talking to sources I have on that South Lake staff and things like that, he's Texas is to lose. He bleeds burnt orange. And
about that time of year where you're starting to find your quarterback for the next class. Usually the quarterback is one of the first guys you go after in a recruiting class.
But no, this is definitely around that time. So yeah, Ewers will go through the spring, and then you'll be on commitment watch sometime between May and July, because, you know, quarterbacks, teams usually only take one per class. Only one guy can be the guy. So they usually commit pretty early. But that was a chance to see two guys that could potentially be in the Texas quarterback room at the same time at some point in the future.
And that's something Tom Herman's done a very good job of doing.
Absolutely.
It's a stark contrast from what you had under Charlie Strong, where one quarterback commit in 3 years, and that was Sam Ellinger.
Yeah.
But
that's one you didn't really have to recruit.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'll say this though, man. Jaquindon Jackson, I didn't get to see Vince Young in high school. I didn't. But I don't see any way if everything goes how I think it can go, just from seeing this guy play the last 4 years, I really think he could be the guy that he can be the guy even next year as a true freshman. Obviously, Sam's the man. He's a starter. He's a senior. Jaquindon Jackson's gonna have a package next year in the Texas offense. And I could see him taking over as a true sophomore and being the guy that pushes Texas over the hump and gets them back. I believe in that kid. I think he's an alpha male. I think he's a leader. I've never seen him step on the field and not be the best player. I don't care what any recruiting rankings say or anything like that. And kids follow him. I think Texas hit it out the park with that guy. I think that's a five-star recruit all the way. And with him and Bijan Robinson in the same backfield, man, Texas fans, you got a lot to be excited about moving forward, a lot. But Jaquindon Jackson is the real deal. But I will say this too. Hudson Card came back last week. He's been out the last 6 weeks, missed the last seven games with a foot injury. To the surprise of some, many thought his season was over. He came back last week and he put his team on his back. He contributed or accounted for 5 touchdowns in total, both running and passing. I think he's a big-time recruit as well. But I think Jaquindon Jackson is the man. Absolutely. That was a huge pickup for Texas and getting him to stick after losing Rashad Samples, after not landing his teammate Chris Thompson. You get Jackson in here when the other guys around the state see that guy. Texas already off to a great start in 2021. We've mentioned Savion Byrd, who's a 5-star lineman at Duncanville. When this guy gets to campus and everybody sees this guy and what he can do, I think the sky is the limit for not just Texas recruiting, but on the field as well. I believe in that kid 100%. He's the real deal, Texas fans.
He still has to go through Hudson Card. And Hudson Card, as you said, had a great game, and he's coming off of a huge injury.
Right. No disrespect to Hudson Card. No disrespect to Hudson Card. I like Hudson Card. I think he's a really good prospect. I just think Jaquindon Jackson has a chance to be a program changer. And maybe I'm biased again, but I've seen this kid since he was in eighth grade. I have never, and we're in a talent-rich area. Okay, I've never seen him step on a football field and not be the best player on the field. And this is even as he as a sophomore, when Duncanville had him playing wide receiver, every time they were in a bind, anytime they needed to get a first down, they were going to that guy. And there was nothing we could do about it. I don't think I'm going out on a limb. I think Jaquindon Jackson's the next big thing at Texas, if he gets a legitimate shot.
I think a lot of it will have to do with the system that they're going to be put into in Texas.
Well, that's my thing. So I don't any coordinator worth his salt. You don't come in. This is my system. This is how I'm do things. Anybody that's worth and Coach Herman's about to be coaching for his. He's coaching for his job next year. Okay, you mold your offense around what you have. And the thing about Jaquindon Jackson is he can be that battering ram for Texas next year. That way Sam doesn't have to take as many hits as he's been taking as he's accumulated over the past few years. He helped Sam Ehlinger just from Sam won't have to run the ball as much as he's had to. Jaquindon Jackson can take over that role next year before he transitions into being the guy the following year. That dude's going to change a lot for Texas. And him and Bijan in the same class, Will, I don't think we've talked about that enough. It's something to get excited about. I can only imagine, and I'm going way overboard here. I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying hypothetically. I always wondered what Vince Young would have looked like with Adrian Peterson. I'm not saying it's to that level. Again, obviously it cannot be, but Jaquindon Jackson and Bijan Robinson in the same backfield running the zone read. I don't care what anybody says. All your rival schools, Oklahoma, A&M, whoever, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. And that has a chance to be phenomenal if Texas does it.
Darius, you're a salesman. You're a salesman.
No, I'm not. That's the thing. I don't just throw out praise, man. I've been witnessing what this kid do this for years. And when I found out he was going to Texas, I just hope he gets a fair shake at quarterback. And if it's a fair fight, I don't think it's any chance. He's the guy. He is the guy.
Well, I'm pretty high on Hudson Card, so we'll see what happens here. But
I'm not gonna say anything negative about Hudson Card again. I just think that highly of Jaquindon Jackson.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when it comes to the spring. Both of them are on campus.
Well, that's the thing. Jaquindon won't see Hudson. He gets a leg up. That's what I'm saying. Hudson's going to be here in the spring. Jaquindon won't be there. Jaquindon won't show up until the summer. But still, I could see a scenario. That's the thing. Somebody's going to leave. Either Casey Thompson. Texas going to have to be. They're going to have to handle that with kid gloves. But when I'll be willing to bet you, Jaquindon Jackson has some type of package. Come next August, next September, regardless of him not being here this spring.
And I can see. You got to get him on the field?
You have to. And that's also, again, when everybody sees him out there, when folks see him, that's going to resonate in the DFW area. When they see him, everybody knows who that guy is up here. When they see him doing big things at Texas, You don't have to go bring back a Rashad Samples. The program starts to sell itself again because guys from areas are seeing themselves succeed and have success and be used correctly. I could see a scenario where Hudson Card red shirts next year. Jaquinn and Jackson has a package, and then you see them compete for that starting job the following year, and Casey Thompson probably ends up leaving. But no, that's just college football today, you know. But I'm telling you, Will, he's the real deal.
You think Duncanville wins it all this year?
North Shore is a beast. They've got Rockwall next week. Oh, if you guys have not seen, he's not coming to Texas. Texas messed that up. But Jackson Smith, Njigba is the top receiver in the state.
God, good riddance, Drew Maringer. You mess up the evaluation of Garrett Wilson.
Well, here's
Wilson.
The thing. So I found, so come to find out. Right. Yeah, come to find out. Texas Smith, when Texas barely lost to LSU, Smith reached out to Texas' staff. He reached out to Maringer and co. I'm sure everybody remembers now the surprise decommitment and flip of Troy O'Marier. Texas had Troy higher on their board than Jackson at the time.
Jeez.
Jackson calls Texas looking to see what's going on. Coach Maringer, from what I was told, never contacted him, never called him back because he got word that O'Marier was coming. No disrespect to Troy O'Marier, Jackson Smith and Jigba was the best receiver in the state, regardless of class, regardless of vertical, 40, whatever. It does not matter. That's the baddest receiver I think I've seen in my 27 years of life.
He's
the real deal.
This is letting CeeDee Lamb go to Oklahoma. This is letting Marvin Mims go to Oklahoma. This is letting Jalen Waddell go to Alabama. This is letting Garrett Wilson go to Ohio State. This is Jackson Smith and Jigba going to Ohio State. God, just another.
It's history repeating itself.
Just another terrible, terrible evaluation at wide receiver. They're really going to need to get on the ball there.
Yeah, if y'all can get out to McKinney ISD Stadium this Saturday, I think it's at 2:00, Duncanville, Rockwall, that will be a show. And I think Duncanville is going to run through them because Rockwall's defense isn't very good. But you'll still see Jackson Smith make some crazy plays for Rockwall and try to keep them in the game for at least a half or three quarters or so.
Right.
But yeah, that's going to be big time.
All right, now let's go to the coaching hiring because that is what is on the mind of most Texas fans at this point. Not even the Utah game, the Alamo Bowl, not recruiting. It's what the heck is going on with our coaching and what is going on with the hiring of the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator? Well, if you didn't know, you can sign up and put your name and resume into the mix. But right now, for the Longhorns, everything's sort of in a holding pattern while Texas is waiting on a few key candidates to get back to them, mainly guys like Graham Harrell and kind of trying to figure out what they want to do with the defensive coordinator position. But patience, Longhorn fans, is going to be key here. Things are either going to go down very, very quickly, or they're going to take a while, like a while. There's no in between. It's either going to be in the next week or after a month.
Well, yeah, if you're waiting on an answer from Texas is waiting on Graham Harrell, I would assume that, you know, you will know something by this Friday or Saturday, you know. After that, I think the search starts over because, I mean, he was clearly clear-cut option number one. He was the guy they wanted. He was the guy they targeted. I don't know what direction you go in if you're Texas, if Harrell takes another job. We saw Chad Morris sign on with Auburn today. We've seen guys choose other places. From what I was told, you know, Texas didn't go after Morris at all. Apparently there's something there between him and Herman. I don't know what it is. I'm not familiar with it, but apparently they don't mm-hmm. always see eye to eye.
Right.
So that wasn't going to happen.
The co-offensive coordinator for Clemson is now going to be a head coach.
And defensively, nothing's confirmed, obviously, but we do know that Coach Herman's been up in Dallas. He's been up for a while. There has been a lot of opportunity for him to cross paths with a lot of other guys. While he's been here in Dallas, we do know it's at one point Barry Odom possibly was in Dallas at the same time. We don't know if they met or not or anything like that. But things have been quiet on the defensive side. We know he interviewed Chris Ash this past week. But yeah, patience. And I know that's hard, especially talking to Texas fans and, you know, anything surrounding the University of Texas. But patience will be a virtue right now because you're going to have answers sooner rather than later. And if if some of these big names, the bigger names that you're looking at, they're not available right now. You have to wait until they're done with their season. If it's a pro guy, they're in the middle of theirs. You have to wait. Okay. So, I understand the anxiety and the rush and the sense of urgency, but Texas has been doing damage control this entire week and last week being out on the recruiting trail, solidifying their 2020 class. So I don't think you need to worry about that as much on the recruiting front. Those guys that are going to leave, they've already made it clear that they've already decommitted now or taken visits. They're going to go. They're going to do what they're going to do.
And even then, they're kind of coming back. They're kind of circling back. Umanmielen is starting to change his tone a little bit.
Yeah, so let it play out. Let it play out. But and another thing about this too, and I've always kind of thought to myself, I mean, we can say, oh, that's a good hire, oh, that's a bad hire, but I mean, our opinion on it, it's not going to change anything anyway. I mean, what's going to happen is going to happen. We don't know whether somebody's going to work out or not, you know? I don't know. I think it can be a much ado about nothing, honestly, at the end of the day, because football is football. It comes down to execution. You know, how well are they going to teach? So we're not going to see the work. All we're going to see is the result on Saturdays. But all that work's going to be done from January through August, from Monday through Saturday. So my advice is to not even worry yourself about it, man. Right. Don't even worry yourself about it.
And especially with LSU coming into the picture, the defensive coordinator hiring pool with Aranda going to UNLV, it's going to take a while for Texas fans. They're going to be fighting a lot of other schools. Luckily, they have the backstop of Chris Del Conte. He's going to be a guy who is going to make sure that Tom Herman hires a guy who was, I feel like I'm on my soapbox here, but worthy of coaching at Texas and not going to be a comfort hire for Herman, or if it is a comfort hire, it is a good hire in general. So it's going to take a while, and that's just the message we're going to have to leave you all off with. If it doesn't, then it's really going to be a surprise to most people, and if it doesn't, it's probably going to be Graham Harrell dropping. Really the biggest recruiting job Tom Herman has right now is of Graham Harrell, trying to take him away from USC.
Well, fun tidbit, if for guys that are not subscribed to the TFD, to our website, that aren't donors, quick little tidbit, Texas was in home this week visiting Bijan Robinson. Texas is expected to do another visit with Bijan Robinson on Thursday. So could that possibly be a second visit this week with his new coordinator? We don't know.
But it makes sense. You're leading him on, man. We'll see. If you're right, huge props. If you're calling that a huge props, but we'll see. It's kind of leading him on. But
we'll see.
I think the last thing we're going to say is this coaching carousel is not going to stop spinning for a while. There are a bunch of guys who right now, you know, Texas fans are like, oh, well, you missed on him. Oh, Rhett Lashley. I don't really want to go after Rhett Lashley. There is more coming down on the coaching carousel. I'm guessing the end is not in sight. We'll see. Thing is, Texas will probably want to end this all at least in late January. That's probably when I'm saying, okay, this is taking a little longer than it should.
Right.
But you have until then. So that's a while.
Let's just let it play out.
Right.
But I'm confident that there are going to be some folks at the end of the day, when the dust settles, folks will be pretty happy with the names on paper.
Are you kidding me? You're talking about Texas fans. Nobody's going to be happy. Nobody's ever happy.
Yeah, that's true. Where's Urban? Maybe Urban Meyer can come be the defensive coordinator. And I don't know. Chad Morris would decommit from Auburn and come be the offensive coordinator. That's the only thing that'll make everybody happy.
No,
right?
we want Saban as your defensive coordinator.
I'm sorry. Saban's a DC. Urban Meyer's the OC. Bryant Westbrook's your cornerbacks coach. Dwayne Aquina coaches safeties.
Everybody wants Jeff Derek Traylor Johnson. Back.
No, forget Jeff Traylor. Derek Johnson's coaching the linebackers. Ricky Williams running backs. You know, we'll figure it out, man. The names we're familiar with. So, no, it'll be all right. Let's hire Blake Brockermeyer to be the O-line coach.
Ooh. Maybe.
Maybe they can finally get some commitments from his son so folks can stop complaining about that, too. It's going to just do time. Patience.
But I think on that note, that's going to be your 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. And my man, DT, where can we find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter as well, DTerrell, DTerrell05. Who was I defending last week? Was I defending Todd Orlando last week? I haven't been arguing with anybody really this week. If you want to argue about Luka Doncic and how great he is, I'm here all week. Anybody, any slander? I know you're a Spurs fan. I'm going to leave you alone because I know y'all going through it right now. But, yeah, Triple Doncic is good to go. Porzingis, the unicorn, is still the unicorn, whether y'all like it or not.
I got my St. Louis Blues to help me out.
Hockey. The Spurs. Stars just fired their coach. I want to know what happened. I bet we find out in about another week or so.
That's going to be some juicy stuff. Did you see that your bud, Quandre Diggs, with that pick six?
Man, I did not. I saw a graphic or something said he had 3 interceptions the last 4 games. That doesn't surprise me, man. Quandre, that's the crazy thing about football. Guys that stay busy, you know, the ball just seems to find them. You know, it takes a little bit of luck, but I think part of that skill, too. Quandre is just a football player. Always has been. So, no, I'm glad to see him doing good. Folks, cross your fingers. I haven't reached out yet, but hopefully in the next few weeks, maybe we can get another guest on here, man. I'm thinking defensive line.
Ooh. You guys can find this and more on thefootballbrainiacs.com. That's texas.thefootballbrainiacs.com. Or our other shows on the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel you can find on any podcasting platform like Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you guys find a podcast. On that note, thank you for listening. We'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.